It's Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 to 22, and is on page 69. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. This is the word of the Lord.
We're trying to do slightly shorter services over the summer, focusing on faith. And so rather than doing less stuff in the sermon, I'm doing the same amount of stuff and just trying to take all the waffle out. So you're going to have to listen hard. I don't know if in this story, whether you've already had it going in your head, the Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, all those stories, you know? I close my eyes. Some of you will be already going out the service, won't you, with those na-na-na going on in your head. The radio programme this week talked about them as earworms, you know, the kind of thing that gets in your head and won't go out. I've already started, haven't I? The famine of the Middle East had driven Jacob's family down to Egypt to buy grain, where they'd been united with their brother Joseph, the youngest bar one. Joseph, of course, had become Chancellor of the Exchequer, and while he was at it, head of DEFRA, a sort of George Osborne and Caroline Spellman rolled into one. That began Israel's 430-year-long slide down the social scale, until they ended up as slaves. Then, as we've heard, along came Moses. God met him at the sign of the burning bush, and Moses tried out a whole bunch of excuses as to why God could not use him. Have you been there? False humility, ignorance, fear, disability, downright refusal. None of it worked, and he got assigned the job anyway. So his job was to go and announce 10 plagues in Egypt. Finally, as we've heard, Pharaoh let the Israelites set off into the desert. And today we look at the first of 6 key moments, 6 crises, which helped the people of God to move forward, to leave behind some of the old things, to become fit to be the people of God in the place that God had put them. Of course, as soon as the Israelites are out of the door, Pharaoh changes his mind yet again and sent his army out to fetch them back. And here we find them at the end of a day's march, hemmed in with the Egyptian army on 3 sides and the water of the Red Sea at the back. They have nowhere to go. You ever felt trapped? Then God's people stepped forward in the most unlikely direction, straight into the Red Sea. Here is faith in action, the pivotal point of this faith story. Tell the people to move on. They quite literally stepped out in faith. We use that phrase all the time, stepping out. And this is a literal step. What did they do? Three things. Firstly, they stepped forward with courage. Not the pure, naive, kind of just brave thing. We already heard that they were afraid. They were anxious. They were lacking in confidence. But they did step out. They stepped forward with courage. They guessed, you see, that Pharaoh wanted them alive rather than massacred. And only a few would die today if they faced the soldiers. The soldiers wanted to round them up, didn't they? Take them back. But instead of returning to slavery, they stepped forward into the Red Sea. We know now, of course, with that wonderful 2020 hindsight, that the water was seriously deadly. Pharaoh had sent out an army, as we heard, enough soldiers to round up 600,000 men and their women and children and livestock. 600 chariots. Enough of an army to gather up 600,000 men. I seem to remember that the population of Nottingham is 600,000 people. Nottingham and the environs. Lots of people here, and an army big enough for that. And the whole army drowned. So this wasn't just a harmless paddle on the beach. When God's people stepped forward in faith, they took a step forward with courage. Courage. How is it for you? 50 years ago, Carl Rogers said that a good life included daring. Seems to me that in some ways today, part of our society prefers documentation rather than daring. Policies rather than passions. Caution rather than courage. We've declined perhaps from the 19th century nation of adventurers, 20th century nation of shopkeepers, 21st century nation of administrators. Stepping forward in faith means stepping forward with courage. Few of us on a day-to-day basis need the courage shown by Phil Stevenson last week when he did a 200-foot abseil off a building. But stepping forward in faith is embracing risk rather than safety. Have you ever felt your faith has taken you into a risky situation? It might mean daring to speak about Jesus to a colleague. It might mean daring by praying. Maybe because you haven't prayed before or you've not prayed a serious prayer. Lord, I put my whole life in your hands. That's a courageous prayer, isn't it? It gets answered. It needs courage. We can step out in faith when we follow the prompting of God's Holy Spirit and do something unexpected, something unlikely. We can step out in faith when we give up that safe career and do something useful instead. But it needs courage. For some of us, of course, taking a risk ourselves is easy. But what if it impacts on our children or on a partner? We want 100% safety for them, don't we? That's what love is. But here, today's story, the reminder here from the people of God in this account in Exodus 14, is the whole community of people stepped forward in faith. They embraced risk together. They stepped forward with courage together. They stepped forward with courage. Secondly, they stepped forward into their identity. You see, the Israelites were used to slavery. They'd had a long training in it. They'd been in Egypt so long that their status as victims had become a deep part of their identity. Perhaps that's why they had so much to learn in the desert. 430 years in Egypt. That's like us going back to 1580, isn't it? Maths, yep. You'd have to go back before Maggie Thatcher and Brian Clough. Back before the war and the suffragettes. Back before Darwin and the Industrial Revolution. Back before the Book of Common Prayer. And Cromwell. All the way back to Queen Elizabeth I and Edmund Blackadder. Those 430 years of British culture have influenced our national psyche. Who we are, how we respond, what we expect of ourselves and of each other, how we relate to our leaders and to our God. So with the Israelites, their 430 years had taught them they were the losers. They only survived because they were useful, makers of bricks without straw. From father to son, from mother to daughter, the message was handed down over 15 generations, each one sinking deeper into the conviction that they were really rubbish, the underdogs. And looking forwards no better, they anticipated annihilation. Pharaoh had given instructions that all male children born to Israelite women were to be killed. The hopes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would end in genocide, as within just one generation, the nation would be eradicated. No future, no hope. So what about that step into the Red Sea? It was a step forward into a future. They were saying no to despair. They were saying no to slavery. No to the negative self-image. They were stepping forward into their identity as God's people. So what about you and me? Well, of course, this is not just picture language. We can take action to assist the perhaps 27 million slaves in our world today. Just Google Anti-Slavery International. There's a reality here. But in addition, perhaps it's picture language for us. Do you feel sometimes a bit like a slave? Imprisoned by a mediocre life? Perhaps this is just me. Trapped by dulled ambition? Restricted by negative and pessimistic ideas about ourselves and about the world? Do you feel trapped sometimes? Enslaved? Can you join the Israelites as they take a step of faith? Can you step away from whatever is enslaving you? Step towards your identity. That place where the word over your head is not failed, but loved. Turn your back on the enemy. Turn your face towards the promised land. The future, your identity as a child of God. They step forward with courage. They step forward into their identity. Finally, they step forward into action. Typically, of course, slavery means hard labor, a poor diet, and little health insurance. Okay, they had a good meal the night of the Passover, do you remember? They ate well. But that was at least 24 hours ago, here as we see them on the edge of the Red Sea. That night, of course, that night of the Passover, a full stomach had made it difficult to sleep. And then the firstborn of Egypt had died at midnight. And Pharaoh had insisted that all the Israelites get up and leave immediately. So they set off during the night, carrying their belongings and food, as well as, of course, the treasure and the clothes the Egyptians had given them. They were dressed, ready for battle. They herded the children and the livestock ahead of them. And the Bible says they took the longest route, marching until they were exhausted. And now, tired, wearied, but it's not a great night for sleeping. They were dog-tired, but there was this weird kind of fog lighting up the sky. Their side, at least. Worse than a street light outside your hotel room. And then, of course, the Egyptians, just the other side of the cloud, were making one enormous racket. And finally, this Force 9 gale going all night. New whiners? Have you tried sleeping under canvas in a hurricane? The people were tired. And the Egyptians were about to round them up and take them back into slavery. So the obvious thing to do is to pray, isn't it? After all, they've got a great history of prayer, these people. Indeed, it was because they prayed that God had seen their trouble in Egypt and begun the project of setting them free. Now they're hemmed in and frightened. And what do? They do what they know. They pray. But at this moment, God doesn't want a prayer meeting. He wants action. God replies to their prayer. Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. They're not to sit down at the beach and hold a prayer meeting. Instead, they're to march into the sea. Hear me, please. Prayer's good. Rest is good. I'm sure in this congregation there are some people who need to slow down, do less, take a break. But perhaps there's some part of your life, some part of mine, where we need to take action. Despite tiredness, despite feeling like a victim, despite feeling helpless, perhaps there's an action. What do you need right now? A rest? To step down from some responsibility? To move on? To take action? What do you need? Does this scripture point us to the part of our life where we need to take action? Some challenges in our life are like crossroads and some like roundabouts. We already heard from Mina, since pointing to her empty chair. About the roadmap. Do you have crossroads and roundabouts in your life? Some situations you have to drive straight through the middle. And somewhere the right thing is to go round the obstruction. Where in your life do you need to join the people of Israel by taking a step forward into action? Build on your believing by doing. Take action. Go and shake hands with that person. Write that apology. Offer that help. Do that thing you've been putting off. In this faith story, the people of God took a step forward. They stepped forward into action. Courage, identity, action. So unlikely, wasn't it, from this motley group of losers? I'm talking the Israelites, of course. The Egyptians, used to having the upper hand, used to being in control, used to being the movers and shakers, are treated as passive pawns. The Bible says they were just swept into the sea like sweeping crumbs off a picnic table. So where in your life do you feel trapped and helpless? As you step out with courage, God might open up the most unlikely pathway. Through it all, God invites us to step into our identity as people loved by God. We need courage to move on. God will be at our side. Let's pray together.